Good afternoon. My name is Emily Lavely, and I'm a graduate student at Penn State working with Rich Marini and Dave Eisenstadt. And today I'd like to talk with you about the effect of fruit removal and rootstock on stored carbohydrates and their apple trees' responses to chemical thinning. So we know that in apple trees, there's a lot of competition for carbohydrates throughout the season. And this is the balance between the supply from leaves making photosynthesis and the demand of tree fruit growth, root production, shoot production, and of course, fruit production. And during the season, about 60% to 80% of that energy is needed for fruit production. And especially when we're looking at apples, we see that there's a lot of competition when the fruit are small in that early season time from the trees coming out of dormancy to fruit set. And we're particularly interested in this competition when it comes to chemical thinning because this is the time when the supply of carbohydrates is mostly coming, we think it's mostly coming from storage sources, and there's not a lot of shoot growth on the trees that's making new photosynthate available for fruit production yet. And this also is the time when the fruit are about 10 to 12 millimeters in size. They're really competing for who's going to stay on the tree and who's going to drop, depending on how much energy is available. So this is the time when the fruits seem to be most susceptible to chemical thinning. And like I said, it is that balance between supply and demand. This is sort of the sweet spot that we really want to, or that we're really interested in. And so one of the tools that growers have used to help them make thinning decisions is the carbon balance model, and this model is developed through some research at Cornell. And you can see on the y-axis, this is the what they call the carbohydrate balance, and on the x-axis, it's over time. This is focused on the early season, and above the zero on the y-axis is the carbohydrate supply, so or it's the excess carbohydrate available. So if you can... Where's the mouse on here? What's that? Okay. The mouse pad is not working, but the solid line represents the carbohydrate supply. And if you look at the dashed line at the bottom, that represents the carbohydrate demand. And then the balance between those two is the dashed black line. And I put a line in on the zero across the graph just to show kind of through the season some of the fluctuations that we see in demand, supply, and the balance. And this model has been a very effective tool for growers to use in their thinning programs. And it takes into account mostly current light conditions, such as light interception and air temperature, to model how the tree is producing and using carbohydrates. But we still see problems in predictions from the model. The responses that thinners see to chemical thinning are still variable. And so one of the research questions that I've had is, what other things could we be thinking about to include in the model to make it a better predictor for growers to use? And stored carbohydrates is something that I was interested in. And this led me to a few questions. Question one, if soluble sugar and starch concentrations are enhanced in apple shoots, how will the trees respond to chemical thinning in the following season at thinning time? And the second question I had was, will the rootstock affect soluble sugar and starch concentrations and the response to chemical thinning? This project was done at Rock Springs at Penn State's research farm. I used actually Rob Crassweller's NC140 2003 planting, and I was looking at Golden Delicious trees on three different rootstocks, M26, which is the larger tree on the left side, M9T337, which is a moderate size in this study, and then G16, which was the smallest rootstock, or the rootstock that produced the smallest tree. And full disclosure with this experiment, initially I actually did not expect rootstock to affect the amount of stored carbohydrate or the thinning response based on some past research. So to manipulate storage concentrations in my trees, I had fruit removal treatments where I took off fruit at different times during the season. This is my no-fruit treatment where all the fruit on a tree was removed just using hand pruners. And I removed those fruit early in the season on June 5th in 2013. Next, I had trees with a moderate crop load, and I had an early fruit removal treatment where I took fruit off the tree about a month before a normal harvest period. My next treatment was normal fruit removal, which was fruit taken off the tree at the normal harvest time, maturity. And the final treatment was late fruit removal, about 3 weeks after the normal harvest. And I had expected to see more starch available in the tree for the following season with the early fruit removal treatments and the no fruit removal compared to the late fruit removal treatments. And then the following year in 2014, I sampled 1 and 2 year old shoots in that early season time period from dormancy to about a month after thinning time. And I recognize these are large trees. They were fully established. And I tried to simplify the project by only focusing on 1 and 2 year old shoots and the sugar and starch in those particular tissues. We also applied a thinner in 2014. And so this is just carbon balance output for the early season of 2014. And if you look at the carbon balance at zero, you can see that when we applied a thinner on June 3rd, the balance was about at the zero, so we didn't adjust how we thinned. That was the best timing that worked for our region. And we applied Carbaryl with oil and an application of NAA. So we had trees that were thinned and trees that were not thinned. And for all the shoot samples, I looked at the amount of soluble sugars and then did a starch conversion from starch to soluble sugar using the enzymes alpha amylase and amyloglucosidase. And these samples were from freeze-dried apple shoots to look at the starch conversion. And you can see in the tubes, I just wanted to show an example of what I see in the lab. The lighter colored tubes are just the soluble sugars, and the darker colored tubes are the tubes with starch converted to soluble sugar. So you can see a clear difference in the levels. So because of my data, I wanted to show you what I expected to see, what I would have liked to see my treatments to be. So this is a graph of soluble sugars with milligrams per gram of dry tissue. And over time, in the early part of the season, and I would have liked to see the no fruit having the highest level of soluble sugars available, all the way down to the late fruit removal treatment, which I would have expected to have the lowest amount of glucose. And then as the trees became more active and leaves began being produced, I would have expected to see an increase in glucose concentration from dormancy to a little after thinning time. With starch concentration, I expected to see the opposite trend. So early season when trees were dormant, I would have wanted to see higher starch concentrations at that time, and then as the trees became more active, I would have expected to see the starch go down. And similarly, with the no fruit treatment, I expected to see higher starch concentrations than with the late fruit removal. So this is showing my actual data. This is soluble sugars for one-year-old shoots. And what we can see here is if you look over time during the season, the first data set with a D, or the data points with the D, is dormancy. The next one, GT, is at green tip. The following point at the P is pink. B stands for bloom. And then the T is actually when we applied our thinner, and it's offset a little bit from the data point. We took samples and shoots the day before we applied the thinning treatment. And when we look at soluble sugars, we see that over time, we did see a general trend of an increase in soluble sugars, but my treatments had no effect on the concentration of soluble sugars. And when we look at two-year-old shoots, there's also no effect from my treatments, although the level of soluble sugars in two-year-old shoots does increase a little bit over time. This is the starch concentration for one-year-old shoots. And we can see that generally there's a decline in starch concentration as we go from dormancy to after bloom time. But the fruit removal treatments, they did have an effect. but it's not explainable. If you have any ideas on how to interpret this data, I would greatly appreciate your input. I'm still trying to wrap my head around this data, but there doesn't seem to be a predictable trend here, at least in one-year-old shoots. When I looked at two-year-old shoots, I saw a similar trend from dormancy. The starch concentration is higher, and as the season progressed, that starch concentration went down. But we do see, when the trees are dormant, we are seeing an effect of the fruit removal treatments, as I would have expected. So the no-fruit treatments had higher starch concentrations, and next, early fruit removal, normal fruit removal, and finally, late fruit removal. But there's still a lot of variability, and I was trying to figure out, where is this variability coming from? So I want to focus on two dates for the rest of my presentation. The first one is at that dormant time period, and the second date is the date right before thinning time. So when I looked at starch concentration at dormancy, we see that fruit removal is having an impact, but it's related to, or it depends on, the rootstock. The rootstocks are not all responding the same way. So we see that N26 is doing a little bit of its own thing, and fruit removal had no effect on the starch concentrations in that rootstock. With M9 and G16, it was more of what I expected, with no fruit having the highest starch concentrations, and then late fruit removal having lower. But early fruit and normal fruit had intermediate. The day before thinner, which is also the time that we're interested in, you can see that the rootstock effect really went away. So the rootstocks in this at this time all seem to kind of balance out and do similar things. But when you look at the fruit removal treatment, this is the opposite of what I expected. So the no fruit treatment had lower starch concentrations, where the late fruit removal treatment had the highest starch concentrations. And so we take this back to thinning. So I thought, great, I'm seeing some treatment differences. How is this affecting thinning? Can I see a relationship between starch concentration and fruit set? So this is a graph, again, showing what I would have expected to see with fruit set on the y-axis and starch concentration on the x-axis. And once I applied my thinner, this is the day before. This is actually showing the starch concentration the day before I applied the thinner to see if that was an important time period to look at, or if the starch concentration at that time period would affect how the trees were responding to thinner. And what I found was there's really no relationship, which is really surprising to me. There's no relationship between starch concentration and fruit set. Also at this time, or as I mentioned before, we did see some differences in the amount of starch, but it doesn't seem to be affecting thinning. Thank you. So in conclusion, early fruit removal did enhance starch concentration in two-year-old shoots compared to late fruit removal, but we only saw this when the trees were dormant. We also saw that early fruit removal on rootstock didn't affect starch concentration in two-year-old roots by the time we got to thinning time. And so the main takeaway, I think, from some of this work is that we know that starch storage or stored starch does affect early season growth, and it's obviously impacting how the trees are going to be growing in that time period, but it's probably not a, or it may not be a main driver and shouldn't be, or may not need to be considered in the carbohydrate thinning model as much as I would have expected. So some possible reasons for this might just be that there are other storage pools for starch, roots. There are other things, too, that maybe should be looked at for metrics of early season growth. And also the trees may be adjusting their photosynthetic capacity to kind of make up for the differences that they have in starch storage. So with that, I'd like to thank all the people that helped me with this project and my funding sources with the State Horticulture Association of Pennsylvania. Thank you, and I'm happy to take any questions that you have.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
Have you looked at spur carbohydrate loads?
My question was, have I looked at spur carbohydrate loads in the buds themselves? And I have not. So you're thinking more direct, localized carbon? Mm-hmm.